Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome back to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed.
Obsessed.
And the agnostic alien believer. I'm John.
I'm Kim.
And we're here today to peel back the curtain. We're gonna get to the bottom. We're talking about the X-Files. Like, we are doing another double feature of alien stuff.
Oh, we're letting it ride this summer. We're 4 UFO movies. We are spoiling ourselves.
Right. 4 UFO movies. Not 4, but like some UFO movies from an era where we still called them UFOs.
God, I miss still it. Call them UFOs. UAP just doesn't have that ring to it.
Nah, UAP sounds like you're in cahoots with the CIA, okay? I said it. UFO is the people's term. Yeah, so previously we had talked about Signs and No One Will Save You, some alien invasion movies. With this double feature, we're kicking things off with The X-Files, which a lot of people like to call Fight for the Future, or Fight for Future. Fight the Future. Nailed it. And we're delving into the alien conspiracy more than anything.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm excited to get into it. Kim, were you a big X-Files fan when you were growing up?
I dabbled. I also dabbled in the Outer Limits. Yeah. Well, I was this came out in 1998. I did see it in theaters.
I love how you're like, look, you got to remember, I was a child. I couldn't possibly have been obsessed. I did see it in the theater.
I was 10 years old because my grandpa, who took me to movies, I've said this on the podcast a bunch, he's what got me into movies, was a huge X-Files fan.
Yeah.
So he was like, we have to see the X-Files movie, Kim. That's you're going to enjoy it. And I was like, okay.
Did you ask him a bunch of questions during the movie?
Not really. I think that's the good thing about the X-Files movie is, one, a 10-year-old can understand it. No, is that you don't necessarily need to be fully engrossed in the X-Files, the show, to be able to enjoy the film.
And with the exception of one scene. There's one scene where they're just like, oh, let's deal with a whole bunch of backstory from the TV show right now.
You can definitely tell which characters are of importance, and you're like, oh, this must be a recurring character. This must be a very secretive, overarching character that has showed up that we're exploring a little more.
A couple cameos that they don't explain whatsoever.
Yeah, there's a few little tidbits where you're like, oh, I'm sure this would be a nod to the TV fans.
Yeah.
So you're definitely missing a little bit of a layer there, but it's totally understandable and it totally stands alone as its own story, which is good because I haven't revisited X-Files in a very long time. So in my entire life, I'd say I've seen maybe a dozen that I can remember.
Yeah. No, it was also sort of just like a cultural hit, right? The way that if you've never seen a Friday the 13th movie, you could watch a new Friday the 13th movie, hopefully in 2025, and completely understand who Jason Voorhees is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We know who Mulder and Scully are.
Exactly. There's one kook and one person who's there, maybe to kiss him, but mostly to disprove him.
She's a doctor, John.
We just wanted to see them kiss. It's all we wanted. It's what they knew, and they almost gave it to us.
I like her as a scientist.
And that's how I'd like to approach this podcast. I'm going to bring a new energy here.
Like
today.
Science?
Yes.
That's not this podcast.
I'm usually a goofball. Oh, I'm not coming with facts. I'm just coming with a stern talking voice.
Okay, so we're going to debunk the existence of UFOs.
I think we're going to explore the possibility.
All right.
And this is truly this. I don't want to spend a whole bunch of time talking about the X-Files in general, but not that they invented it, but the poster, the "I want to believe," is the greatest tagline. Because it doesn't say, "I believe, it's true, you have to believe." It's, "I want to believe." Those words almost seem at odds with each other.
It's a great way, though, as a skeptic, it is such a great way to establish your perspective.
Yes.
Because it says two things. It says, "I'm skeptical, but I want to be disproven."
Uh-huh.
And that's how I feel about every supernatural, paranormal, and possibly alien event. I would say I'm halfway between a Mulder and a Scully. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I'm disproving it because that's the way you should handle these things, is you should eliminate the science first. But then there's also the Mulder in you that's like, but what?
But
if there's things we can't explain.
Then what is it? The TV show really kind of legitimized the idea, like the Art Bell crowd, the kooks out there who thought maybe we didn't go to the moon, people who had been, you know, making claims of UFO sightings for decades and had just been laughed at. Like, suddenly it legitimized this movement, we'll call it.
And also, too, the idea that the government is officially, in some capacity, looking at these things.
Looking at? They're fucking...
Okay.
They're in bed with the aliens in this movie.
And I mean, that's always been the belief since the Roswell incident, which what I would say is like the tentpole of all UFO crash sites or UFO incidents on record, where that kind of was maybe the establishing separation between, you know, how the government believes what's true about aliens and how the public believes what's true about aliens. The government is separate from us. They know way more and they're not telling us.
Uh-huh.
That is the element of the alien conspiracy that I think X-Files really touches on. That is a very interesting conspiracy because it's not humanity versus aliens. It's humanity versus humanity and the truth.
Leaving some silence to let that hit.
Okay. I was like, do you not understand what I'm saying? Am I talking bullshit? Should I shut up?
No, okay. And like, there are plenty of people who like the TV show more than they like the movie. The TV show had like a completely different approach. It's a monster a week type show. Mulder and Scully are going off to investigate these weird little incidences. It's almost like watching a new movie every week. You get a completely different story, a completely different monster, never an explanation. you get a lot of questions at the end of it, but ooh, some scary shit. Like, truly an incredible TV show. But on the edges, there were always these hints at a larger conspiracy, that there's a cover-up, that the government's involved.
And not even the fucking FBI agents who are on the case know about it.
You gotta have double extra clearance to get to know any of this shit. And that's exactly what they dive into in the movie. The movie takes place kind of between seasons 4 and 5.
I thought it was 5 and 6.
Who gives a shit? Maybe you're right. we're diving headfirst into the government conspiracy. We're dealing with the syndicate, the elites who are working with the aliens, and we've got some great alien mayhem in this movie, and just truly some great conspiracy stuff. Before we get into it, what are three good things? And I'd like to start with you here. Like, three good things from somebody at the perspective of, like, you understand what the X-Files is, but you were never, like, obsessed with it.
Well, I think one thing I really appreciate about the film, and what I think all film tie-ins to series should be, is it's way more expansive than the series. It's big and bombastic. There's tons of different locations. We're in Dallas, so we have the desert aspect. We are in England for a little bit. We're all over the place, and it feels almost like we're in a spy movie. The scope of the film is a lot bigger than anything that they would have been able to do in a 45-minute television show.
You can't get this many locations in Vancouver. It's impossible.
I mean, they probably filmed a lot of it in
definitely
not those locations, but the fact that they are using different terrains, and we're in Antarctica, and the characters themselves are spanning the globe, their investigation is a larger scope, is something that is perfect for film. And also, too, you want to you want to do a little fan service. You want it to be bigger and the conspiracy to be huger, and it spans the globe.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Everybody's involved and different governments are shaking hands privately behind the curtain.
It's a movie you could tip your tinfoil hat to.
Yes! it fulfills all of those things. I'm just saying that it's not just an hour and a half version of the show.
Yeah.
It feels bigger than the show.
Absolutely. Good thing number two, I'm going to keep this real simple. Caveman versus an alien. there's a fist fight between a caveman 35,000 years ago. That's a great opening of the movie where it's just like, we've got two silhouetted figures running across the snow. We're like, oh shit, we're in the Antarctic. And it's just like, North Texas, 35,000 BC. And yeah, they go into a cave. There's a fist fight with a fucking alien monster, and it's gory. I mean, gory for 1998. And gory for PG-13. There, you do see a throat completely slashed open. It looks real good.
I'm glad you went with the alien fight sequence, because I thought you were going to go with the fact that it was an ice age in Texas at some point.
Oh, all right. Well, the thing I thought you were about to give away there, which I'm just going to go ahead and make good thing number three, gooey jelly corpses.
Are you like parasitic alien?
Oh, yeah, this fucking alien. It's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers or the movie Alien, Ridley Scott's Alien. And they're just like tucked away inside us, just slurping us up slowly. It's gross.
Why do aliens always gotta use us as hosts?
Because they're jerks. That's the only way you can get behind it. Either they come in with ray guns and they're like, ew, gross, hate these little fuckers, meaning us, and they just explode our white houses and zap us all away out of existence.
Yeah, you know what? I guess it is resourceful and it's environmentally friendly. There's a ton of humans on the planet. If you want to take over the planet, how are you going to recycle all those cans? Those human husks. You might as well just digest them, process them organically.
And isn't it just, it's just a wheel inside a wheel inside a wheel? Like we talk about, the aliens have invaded the upper echelons of society. And beyond that, they're invading our bodies. They're sucking us dry. They're taking our resources. They're eating our food and our guts slowly. There are great moments of this movie where we see aliens living inside of people who are not yet dead, but definitely not alive anymore. And it's awesome.
Yeah, we get a lot of really good, unique alien stuff in the movie. And I love, too, that it's not just one variation. And I won't get too into it because we'll talk about it, but the fact that it originates as a virus is just such a unique premise.
Absolutely. We're going to cut to the trailer. You're going to hear that classic X-Files sting.
Bow, 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 bow.
And when we get back, we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about the X-Files, obviously. And at the end of it, we're going to find out whether or not Kim truly believes that there's life outside this planet.
Oh, God.
Hey, Steve, you okay?
I got the wind knocked out of me.
What's down there, Stevie? Anything?
It's a human skull!
There are forces on Earth.
Toss it up here, dude!
No way, but life is mine!
Too hidden to be detected. There are conspiracies too vast.
Hey, Stevie!
To be uncovered.
You okay?
Hey, man, let's get out of here.
But on June 19th, the truth is coming.
Scully? Run!
We have a situation.
I need you on this. One man alone cannot fight the future.
Hold her! There's no time!
It has mutated.
Into what? Trust no one, Mr. Mulder.
The truth is something you never guess, never have predicted.
Thank you.
The X-Files is currently sitting at a 7 out of 10 on IMDb, a 66% on Rotten Tomatoes, and a 3.5 out of 5 on Letterboxd.
So, John, we've established that I am familiar with The X-Files. I have seen a bit of it.
Yep.
I'm not fully engrossed. How big of an X-Files fan would you say you are?
I was, first off, not allowed to watch it when it first came out.
and then I was
too scared to watch it when I got my own little TV in my bedroom.
Aww.
And then I slowly worked up the courage to devour every goddamn episode of this show.
Love that. That's the best trajectory.
I used to see the promos on TV and I'm like, no, I can't watch that. There was a scene where
you self-policed.
I think that I'm completely fabricating some of this, but in my mind, there's like a guy putting his arm down a vent and he's reaching for something. In my mind, it's a tiny human being. Can't be possible. Like, he's got to just be reaching for a cat or something. And I've seen this episode. I can't even remember what it is. Like, the headcanon version is cooler than the real version, so it has never replaced that file in the
X-File?
Yes, in my own brain, where he's just like reaching down a vent and his arm just keeps extending until he finally gets it. Yeah. Yeah. There are so many moments in the X-Files TV show that are just, you know, living rent-free in my brain. One or two of them from that episode that Stephen King wrote with the evil doll. There were a lot of cool event TV episodes of the X-Files, but yeah, I was watching the TV show in time with the movie, and I went to go see it with my dad and my brother, and we were all just like, fuck yeah!
Oh, I love that. Okay, so I have a question for you.
Yes.
In the series, Mulder and Scully are heading the X-Files, where they're going and investigating these possibly paranormal, supernatural, UFO-related cases.
Mm-hmm.
Are they debunked, or is it open-ended? Like, or are they proven? Because I feel like this, and I might be wrong in remembering this, was the series more ambiguous as to the existence of otherworldly things? Like, Mulder is treated as a little bit more of a kook, right?
He's treated as more of a kook to everybody around him.
Mm-hmm.
Scully's obviously very polite, and she gives him a lot of space to sort of exercise his own beliefs and everything.
For his run-on sentences.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. But no, the show definitely takes the stance that this stuff is real and happening. And that's mostly just because the final image of the episode is always like seeing that the monster's still out there somewhere, you know, stuff like that. There's a lot of things that go unanswered because science can't prove it. But at the end of the day, it's you kind of have a two-hander where you have Mulder explaining how this could possibly be something paranormal, and then Scully at the very least saying like, well, we can't rule out this, this, and this. So at the end of the day, like, the FBI file is either inconclusive or, on the official records, it's this girl ran away. Meanwhile, somebody else is screaming that they've been abducted by aliens. So it's, I guess, ambiguous in terms of the FBI. But overall, if you're watching the show, you're like, oh no, there is totally a guy who's invisible in the woods killing people.
Okay, so going into the movie, would you say that Scully believes in aliens?
No, absolutely not. And like, that's,
which is crazy, because that's 4 or 5 seasons in.
Well, what's really crazy, and this is maybe something you don't necessarily know, like, you understand the dynamic of those two characters, but in one of the earlier seasons, Scully gets abducted. Like, kidnapped, and then maybe abducted by aliens, but she doesn't remember any of it.
Rude. You know?
And then there are a bunch of health problems that she runs into. Like, in one episode, she finds a microchip in her, like, the back of her neck.
Oh,
that she can't explain.
Shit.
She gets cancer that they're not sure where it comes from. It doesn't make any sense. Blah, 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 blah.
I mean, that's most cancer.
Yeah, but as a doctor, she can't even explain
how
it happened, why it's there, the way it moves and works. So, like, she's had plenty of health concerns that could possibly be related to this incident where she was kidnapped by a guy and maybe brought to aliens, but could also just be coincidence and like looking for patterns. So a lot of when Mulder's like, come on, with all the things you've seen and all the things you've experienced, like, he is talking about like the monsters and the abductees that they've interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
But he is also sort of leaning on the idea that she has herself experienced something that she can't fully explain away.
Okay.
And then I guess the only other thing that you don't know going into the movie if you've never watched the show is that sort of government conspiracy stuff. But I mean, that's pretty boilerplate as far, or not boilerplate, but like standard issue for any sort of UFO thing. Like, of course the government's involved. Like, everything involves the government knowing about it.
Well, I mean, our main characters are the government being involved.
That is, I mean, that's true when you say it like that. I just mean, like, you know, like, pulling the strings, you know, behind
yeah.
the scenes. Yeah,
because, I mean, if coming at it from a civilian's perspective, say, you know, Scully and Mulder are coming to investigate, you know, a paranormal situation that surrounds you as a citizen.
Yeah.
They're fully going to be men in blacking you. Like, you're not going to have any understanding about what goes on in their study. They're not going to disclose any information. They're going to disappear as fast and quietly as they came.
I guess that's true. There aren't really a whole lot of scenes of Mulder checking in with people and seeing how they're doing.
Right?
Yeah.
They're just here for some data, and then they're off.
They seem more like cops than anything else, like detectives. Whereas if we're talking Men in Black,
alien cops. They came to Earth and we came to bust them.
The Men in Black of the show is definitely the smoking man.
Okay.
Like that old guy that you
but
see
I mean
everywhere.
Like, I'm talking about being the face for civilians, mm-hmm. being the people that are on the ground with like the memory eraser. They're trying to get information from you without necessarily disclosing their position on what happened.
I guess. I mean, anytime they show up, they're usually the only people who believe them. And especially Mulder is like, I believe you. Like, I'm 100% with you on this.
Yeah,
like,
but Mulder doesn't tuck his shirt in all the way.
He can't be trusted.
No,
he's
I'm just saying.
A piss poor
FBI. I'm just saying
he's
rough around the rules.
All right. Whatever. I think they're pretty respectful in most of the episodes.
I'm not saying they're disrespectful. I'm just saying that they're purposefully vague.
Yeah, okay, fine. They're purposely vague. They're as purposely vague as any cop or any detective would be. At the beginning of the movie, the X-Files has been disbanded. That's the end of season 4 or whatever, where they break up the X-Files. It's not going to happen anymore. We all knew the movie was coming.
Like, okay, was anybody like, no, they've been canceled?
Yeah, but I mean, it's the same way that like you'd have somebody win a belt at WrestleMania, and as they're celebrating, somebody like comes in and kicks them in the head, and they're just like, I'm the champion now. And you're like, what? No, I can't. What's going to happen next week? Like, it's just a cliffhanger. Like, come on. Nobody believed the show was over.
It's pretty ballsy, though, to be like, the X-Files are closed.
I think they did that in season 1. Like,
they're closed.
And then they're reopened at the end of the movie. They close all the time. This is one of those shows that has been canceled and come back. And, you know, the X-Files has
disappeared.
Well,
you know what, though? If you're a brand of secret government, what arm are you going to cut first? The inconclusive one that writes reports that are just like, meh.
Yeah. I mean, you paid us a bunch of money to go out there, but like, I can't give you any answers.
Yeah, like in terms of the budget, X-Files are going first.
Imagine the balls of being just like, now, technically, we can't explain what happened. Also, here's my expense report. How do you do that?
Yeah, the X-Files are no longer in the budget. You went to Antarctica how many times?
Well, they're rogue the whole movie, right?
Like, yeah, they are not in any official capacity the whole film.
Not at all. No, they keep, like, they basically just have to keep coming back to Dallas. Dallas? I don't know.
Yeah.
Where the fuck they are when they're doing all these meetings. To basically show up.
To be reprimanded.
Yeah, and the whole time they're like, wait, you were working this whole time? You were interviewing kooks in back alleys and going to the Antarctic?
The only time they're working in any official capacity in the movie is in the opening sequence where there's a bomb threat. They're there in non-X-Files capacity because there's a terrorist threat.
That's right.
And that ends up being the inciting incident for Mulder's big conspiracy investigation throughout the film.
We get a nice little cameo from Terry O'Quinn, the stepfather himself, who gets blown the fuck up in this
building. I was anticipating him to be a big player in the movie.
He's kind of a big player. He's just not in it a whole lot.
And then when he blew up real quick, I was like, oh shit.
The balls of this movie too. Like, it's not that many years after the Oklahoma City bombing. They're like, you know what we need to do? Blow up a federal building.
This was supposed to air on TV around September 11th, 2001, and it got pulled. Yeah.
Like, that would have been the TV premiere day.
Yeah.
And you're like, maybe we don't
Yeah.
That's interesting.
People were very sensitive about bombs and buildings, justifiably so.
Now, they clear the whole building, synopsis-wise. Like, back on the track of talking about this movie. They clear the building just in time.
Because Mulder finds the bomb in the pop machine.
Yeah, he finds it in a vending machine. But in the aftermath, when they're being reprimanded for all of it, because the FBI is being blamed for not acting fast enough. They technically only, as far as they know, they only had one death, which was an FBI agent. But
who
they
was
find
supposed
out,
to be disarming the bomb, but did not.
No, he didn't. And why could he possibly just be sitting there? Who's he protecting if he didn't even try to disarm this bomb? We find out later that there are four other bodies. There's three firemen and a little boy that quote-unquote died in the explosion. Although we already fucking know that they were involved in an alien incident in North Texas underground.
Yeah, because a bunch of kids are playing modern day North Texas, right where the caveman incident happened, 35,000 BC. Kid falls through into this cavern and some worm aliens get inside his skin and then his eyeballs, and it's all spooky spook.
Man, it's one of my favorite scenes of the movie.
I love it. I was a little disappointed that the alien infection wasn't a bigger part of the film.
What are you talking about? It's the whole movie.
No, but I mean the literal wormy type aliens.
You for an hour and a half, you want to see somebody just like, oh, my fingernails fell off. My hair's coming out. What's wrong with me? Call somebody.
No,
like,
not the infection itself, but the aliens doing the... I wanted to see a lot of little black alien goos.
Okay.
Like infecting people. I wanted to see the infection spread. I wanted there to be a breakout.
I mean, if you want more alien black goo stuff, then just watch the show. There's tons of it.
Fine. I will.
And I honestly, like, I'm not the X-Files expert here. I have not written a book on the X-Files. It has been years since I've watched the episodes. I haven't even seen them all. Like, those reboots, I don't watch any of them. Fuck it. Like, I watched the original run, even though, like, some of the later seasons weren't incredible. But I'm almost positive that there wasn't a lot of explanation for that black goo, but it did appear.
Okay, so the goo is a recurring character.
The goo is a recurring character in the X-Files. Yes.
There's Skinner, there's the goo, there's the smoking man.
Yeah, these are the four characters you need to know. They present it as blood, like it's the blood of the aliens when the caveman kills the alien at the beginning of the movie. It seeps up from underground because, like, with the heat of Texas, you know, especially now that we're no longer in an ice age, it has sort of defrosted and it doesn't...
Global warming!
It seeps
honestly,
up out of the
honestly, it's the basis for
little...
any modern alien movie, us warming the planet. Think of all the organisms we're going to let out. Lots of them.
I mean, that's a genuine concern. There is bacteria and stuff living in the ice that has never been defrosted, that's being defrosted. And I'm not saying it's going to take over. I'm just saying that we're not equipped for it.
They're doing all of those things where they're like, we found a seed and we're going to germinate it. And you're like, is this a good idea? Do we want to be doing this?
It could very well be a plant that is designed to kill human beings.
Yeah, and it's just like, oh, we have perfectly preserved woolly mammoth cells. And it's just like, okay, but they did go extinct because of a major incident. And like, should we reintroduce them into this current ecosystem? I just don't think that's a good idea.
We can't even figure out whether it's ethical or not to have a holographic Tupac. Like, we are not ready to know whether or not we should bring back the woolly mammoth. It doesn't make any sense.
I think both are unethical.
And that's this Nightmare on Film Street stance, and we stand by it.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Now, the North Texas site is a key part of the movie because that's where we're doing a lot of alien experimentation. It's where the firefighters are being kept. That little boy had been taken away. They've obviously done some experimentation on him. But it's the explosion that they've orchestrated at this federal building is what they're using to bury the evidence of these people dying mysteriously.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in the North Texas town's been paid off. The small communities had a complete overhaul. They've clearly dumped a bunch of cash to shut everybody up, and they're sweeping it under the rug, business as usual.
So here's a question I have for you. We see that they are keeping an incubating body on the premises at this new, I'm calling it a dig site, I guess,
yeah,
where the cave is and where they kind of created this little quarantine zone.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we first see the alien body living inside the human host.
So fucking good.
And it's really gnarly. Humans transparent like a jelly bean. Uh-huh. Like it's... maybe Jujube is more accurate. and it's really gnarly. It's great. It's wonderful effects. You want to touch it, but you also want to never go near it.
Yeah.
It's simultaneously both those feelings.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, this is where the horror comes into play. The alien bursts from the body right when they're about to, you know, like, administer a vaccine they've been trying to develop.
Yeah.
And it kills one of the scientists, doctors, whoever, that's down there with it.
Played by Jeffrey DeMunn, the guy from The Mist, the guy from Christmas Evil. He's in so many goddamn
now,
movies.
Now, the response here by his coworkers is that they just close the hatch and cover it in dirt.
Love that shit.
When Scully and Mulder find out about this site and they go to investigate it, there's like a freshly laid down park with new equipment, la la la. Are we to believe that that alien is down there just like bunkered up, like underneath that park?
Maybe.
Are they just hoping like, yeah, he'll starve?
So he did hit it with the vaccine. So like that's the other thing. Like the reason they are keeping a guy down there.
But they are saying that the vaccine is super weak. Like the reason why Mulder's on this time limit is that Scully has been infected. We'll get into why.
Kim is making some jumps. Fuck.
But he's only given like 96 hours or something. So yeah. I don't think the vaccine is effective on a full-blown alien.
Well, the thing is, we don't know yet. Okay.
And we'll never know because we buried it underground.
Okay, so the syndicate, and now I'm making jumps, we learned that there is an elite group of leaders all throughout the world, just like powerful men of industry.
Who are very alien-focused.
They're working with aliens.
It was weird when we did the first meeting because I was just like, oh, are they dealing drugs? Like, is this a cocaine thing?
Yeah.
Especially when they brought the cornfields involved and stuff. And I'm like, this feels very Pablo Escobar meets aliens.
I mean, if Pablo Escobar didn't get shot by the DEA, he'd probably be working with these guys. He's the Colombian faction of the syndicate. He's like, I don't know about these aliens, man. I don't know.
The drugs are the cover for the alien bunker underneath.
Not even. The drugs become the delivery system. Okay, so the elites have decided, they've been creating a vaccine. They're working with the aliens because their whole idea is that the aliens are coming. There are colonists. Like the alien bacteria, the virus, the life form of the alien has actually been on Earth longer than mankind has.
They say that the alien life form originally lived on Earth. So technically the fact that they're calling it an extraterrestrial is incorrect.
They're folding a lot of theories into them.
They're like, they are aliens, but they live here, but they're also viruses in the earth from the glaciers,
mm-hmm.
and they also grow into real-life green-eyed aliens mm-hmm. that explode out of your body.
It's so easy to follow. I don't know why you're having such a hard time.
And it's weird that, okay, I love that there's a virus. I love that we have like little green men exploding out of bodies. Them being part of the same species, I don't necessarily agree with. I just feel like there's like a virus becoming like a pregnancy is a bit of a stretch for me.
Okay, but isn't the movie Alien, like Ridley Scott's Alien, kind of the exact same thing? Like, we have this egg that, you know, essentially, like, deposits a seed inside of a person, which becomes a host, which explodes out one creature that eats, that transforms and becomes something else. Like, isn't that exactly the same thing? Like, it's still, like, the parasitic evolutionary path.
Yeah, I guess it's just the fact that they're calling it a virus and they're coming up with vaccines and stuff. I would just assume it to stay as a virus. Mm. Or, like, instead of becoming a parasitic entity from a virus, it would become just more of a parasite. Like, it would be toxoplasmosis or something. It would be a mind control parasite.
So that might also be because of their assumption. Now, we're getting a lot of backstory really fast in the movie. The elites are working with the alien colonists in tandem, making preparations for them to... maybe not necessarily completely take over.
It is weird that we find out that the upper echelon of humans are collaborating with the aliens, and they've got bunkers in tandem with each other where we're infecting humans and everybody's furthering their research. The aliens are furthering their research on how to, like, incubate and birth themselves and take over Earth. And then the humans are like, yeah, we'll help you, but we're secretly going to be developing a vaccine.
Which ultimately makes them mildly good guys.
But why would the aliens believe that humanity would collaborate on
maybe
this?
They don't. That's the other layer, you know? Like, it's just like nobody believes anybody. It's the perfect analogy for the Cold War. Like, that's all it comes down to. Like, surprise, surprise, all this alien stuff popped up after World War II, and we started becoming incredibly suspicious of all the other big world powers.
Okie doke.
Okay, now all I'm saying is that originally, when the humans sided with the aliens and started working together, the expectation was that this was more of a virus and that we would become human hosts to this virus, similar to what's a good analogy?
Toxoplasmosis.
Sure, similar to toxoplasmosis.
the cat poo virus.
These, good God.
This is why pregnant women aren't supposed to handle cat poop.
And this is why husbands become mean. I don't know. Like, isn't that part of it, that there's like extra aggression in males with the toxoplasmosis?
I don't know. It just controls your mind.
Yeah. Okay.
The cats are controlling your mind.
Let's not go down this path.
It's the reason why cats are domesticated and why we love them, is because we all have a virus that's telling us we do, so that the virus can spread in cat toilets in every home in America.
Kim, I hope you have a good time editing this episode later. It's a fucking mess so far. But... But the alien virus is supposed to just take over humans. The elites are as surprised as we are to learn that the alien essentially just, like, eats humans and replaces them with their own gray monster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way they were talking is that they had expected humans to essentially just become hosts to the alien virus. That they wouldn't completely take over the planet.
Okay, like, so we could just, like, yeah, we'll share our bodies with you guys. That's totally cool.
Exactly. And they're...
as long as you're not going to take over, and everybody's like, mm-hmm, and everybody's got their fingers crossed behind their back while they shake hands.
Yeah, both sides have their fingers crossed. Exactly. Because they're only working with the aliens to get closer, to learn more about the technology, about the virus, to study it so they can build a vaccine. So they can... everybody's doing a lot of double-crossing here across the board. Even the people who are building the double cross are double crossing each other, just talking to Mulder. Like, ooh, you've got to know about this. You've got to help us fight the future.
Yeah, after he's killed his other friend. So most of what Mulder's getting is from, like, a kooky author who's like, you have to investigate. The bodies were already dead before they blew up in the building.
Whose name is Kurzweil. Who's essentially named after another kooky writer and computer scientist.
But
you remember Ray Kurzweil, right? The singularity guy?
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
But then, so this author is killed by the well-manicured man.
Why do we gotta call him that?
Because that's his name on Wikipedia.
That is fucking insane.
And he has the body of the author in the trunk of his limo.
It's a sinister moment.
As he's divulging to Mulder, like, basically the plan, and revealing all of this, that, like, there's a virus and la-di-da and doodly-doo and vaccines, your friend is dead.
Yeah, we've killed
Martin
Lando.
But I've decided not to kill you because you're a main character.
They talk about him. They're just like, well, this man has to go. But Mulder, if we kill him, this is great. This is how you know that he's the main character of a story, right? Where they're just like, his His quest will become a crusade. We can't, like, the fucking, there's a beacon that's gonna go up. Everyone's gonna know that he's dead, and, like, the world's gonna rise up.
Well, they tried kidnapping his Scully to stop him, and that didn't work. They tried shooting him in the face, and that didn't work. So now they're gonna hand him the vaccine and tell him where to go.
We really brought out the red yarn and the Bristol board for this one. Or not the Bristol board, but, like,
it's an X-Files movie.
Yeah, I just, for some reason, I thought we could talk about this in a coherent manner, but it sounds truly insane.
Okay, so we haven't even talked about the bees yet.
We haven't talked about the bees.
So, subplot to this alien invasion. Now, this is also a collaboration of the humans with the aliens.
What, you always find this so complicated. Yeah.
I just don't understand why the humans would help the aliens. This isn't just now we have a quiet bunker somewhere where we're doing weird experiments on human bodies. This is we're figuring out and creating a delivery system to infect the human race. They are cultivating pollen and bees and bees and pollen and cornfields with pollen that have bees on them that are filled with this virus.
Come on, you've had managers before. You can't just sit and play solitaire on your desk all day. Like, at some point, you have to do a little bit of work. Like, you have to show that you're doing something. They had to do this. They had to create the delivery method in order to infect people, but their goal is to have the vaccine. Now, don't get me wrong. They're still evil for doing it. Like, they're still the baddies. But I guess their hope is to also put out wasps that will carry the vaccine. So that way, once all the human beings are infected, we can also vaccinate them right away. I don't know what their ultimate, like, at some point somebody's gonna find out, and it's gonna be a real big problem. But yeah, the bee delivery system's great. I think it's awesome.
It's a fun idea. I just think humanity is stupid for going along that far.
Oh, absolutely.
It's very participatory in their own alien invasion. I did not think humanity would be so involved in the invasion.
Kim, they could crush us like a bug if they wanted
so
to.
So make them do it. Make them do the work. Make them cultivate the corn.
Kim's got a real do not go to a second location mentality when it comes to the alien monster.
Like, if somebody kidnaps you, kick them in the balls even if they have a gun, because you'd rather them kill you there. You'll leave some evidence for people to solve the case.
Yeah, never go where it's easier for them to kill you and to get away with it.
And to take your DNA with them.
Scully accidentally gets stung by one of these bees right when she's about to kiss Mulder.
Yeah, Scully and Mulder are cock-blocked by an alien bee.
And he has a look on his face like, I just got cock-blocked by an alien bee.
Well, because Scully's like, oh, I'm having an anaphylactic reaction. And he's like, fuck.
Yeah, and then, like, a mysterious ambulance, he, you know, shows up, takes her away. They try killing Mulder, like you mentioned. They try shooting him in the head. And then this is where he gets approached by the well-manicured man who gives him a vaccine and gives him the latitude and longitude of where Scully's being kept.
Antarctica, like, bitch!
You've got 96 hours with the help of me and the Lone Rangers, who are, like, some side characters in the show. Also, they've got their own backstories. They're basically kind of, like, amateur Mulder and Scully.
Oh, I love that. So they're like internet sleuths kind of thing before the internet.
Exactly.
Oh, I love that.
It's kind of like they're a human contingent that's not, like, involved in the FBI whatsoever. They had their own spin-off series. It didn't last very long. But they were great characters. They were fan favorites. They got a quick little cameo in this movie. They help Mulder escape the hospital so he can get out. And then we're off to the Antarctic. Like Kim mentioned, it's like a fucking Bond movie. We are globetrotting. Nobody eats. Nobody sleeps. We never see anybody take a plane.
So at one point, we're in Mulder's apartment, and we discover that he has fish in a fish tank.
You were really on this.
He was just, I do not believe those fish are being appropriately fed.
He's got a maid or something.
He better.
Right? He's got her.
The neighbor better have the keys to put some flakes in that tank.
He's definitely got something set up. I mean, he spends most of his time trotting around the United States with Scully, investigating people in little backwoods towns. Like, there's no way he doesn't have some sort of arrangement with a neighbor to feed the fish.
And the other thing, too, is that he definitely always has to have his passport in his back pocket, right? Like, he goes from the back alley of the pub he frequents several times in this movie to Antarctica.
Yeah, there's a lot. Like, there are, how expansive it is, there are a few locations we visit 12 times.
That bar is one of them.
Anyway, when we're in the Antarctic, we find Scully. She's in a deep underground lair where all, like, where the smoking man and a whole bunch of other,
and
like,
this lair
are.
Is straight out of a horror movie. This lair is the alien space in Aliens. Like, there are thousands of human bodies that have these incubating alien forms in them, and Scully's one of them.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the movie, like, after he rescues Scully, and
they climb out several fucking flights of underground lair and then ice caverns.
Yeah, well, he also, like, he injects her, like, he breaks her out of this, like, you know, Matrix style prison. It almost looks like something from Independence Day, which the fun little moment in this movie where he's pissing not on but very near an Independence Day poster, which is pretty funny. He injects her with the vaccine, and then all of a sudden everything starts to go fucking crazy, like all the walls are shaking.
Well, because I think, like, a Matrix scenario, everybody is interconnected, and he's put vaccine in the line. He's given Scully the vaccine,
yes,
and it shriveled up like this tube that was connected down her throat, all gross and barf inducing.
So you think it spread to every other human host?
Yeah, and I think that's why there were all these, like, premature births, because everybody was trying to get out of their bodies because there was a vaccine being filtered through it. Yeah. Even if it was only a microdose.
Yeah, and as the walls are shaking and everything's going crazy, he's trying to get out before being attacked. You know, like, we finally make it out just in the nick of time before everything sort of implodes. And we realize that what we've been walking through this whole time is actually a giant UFO that is buried under the ice shield in the Arctic.
Oh, I fucking love it so much. One, the visual is really great, because you know that these characters have been working years and years and years for proof. Like, yes, at this point we've seen alien beings, but just to have this huge alien ship fly over Mulder, like, you're just like, this is what you, like, you couldn't have even imagined in your dreams to happen to you. Like, this is all you could have ever wanted to validate.
But here's the thing, and this is what's really important about the end of the movie. I don't think it mattered to Mulder to have to see that spaceship. He already knows. Like, he already, like, everything that they've investigated.
But visually, it looks fucking cool.
Oh, no, it absolutely does. What I'm saying there is the important person to see that is Scully, and she's unconscious.
She's semi-conscious.
She doesn't see it.
Oh.
She has no, like, she's, like, completely in and out of
consciousness. Well, she did see the alien beings, didn't she?
No, like, not at all. Like, she's hazy. Like, she's like, oh, fuck, we gotta get out of here, you know? Like, she's, like, think about what you remember if I wake you up in the middle of the night, and nothing. Like, nothing at all, you know? She's like that, but she's also doped up. She's weak. She's tired. She still manages to, like, lift Smolder every once in a while when needed, but no, she is unconscious in the snow and does not see that spaceship whatsoever. Like, the one person, the skeptic of the group, who would need to actually see something to believe it, doesn't see it. And, like, that's what helps.
I don't know if I gathered that from that scene.
Well, I mean, that's...
Now I need to rewatch it.
That's how it goes down, and, like, that's how you continue the dynamic between the two of them throughout the rest of the series. Because otherwise, it's just two kooks running around going, like, you gotta believe us!
She gets fully infected, though. Like, until she gets that vaccine, she's about to be an alien incubation host.
Oh, absolutely.
But I do love, I just wanted to say one more thing about the ship, is that the entire time we are in this underground bunker with Mulder, you're just like, why did they design this like this? Why is this so sinister? Why are these pods so weird? Why, like, it doesn't feel like a human structure. And then when it's revealed to be a ship, you're just like, oh, fuck, we were in a ship the whole time.
It's massive, yeah. It's, like, it blocks out the sun is how big it is.
I would say it's the best reveal of the movie. It's
absolutely
so good.
Some of the reveals of the movie are a little much, because there's, like, a huge...
The bees!
The bees are such a great sequence, right? Because, like, we're in this bunker, we can't figure out what it is. There's just, like, this electrical hum, and then all these vents start opening up, and fucking bees come out of nowhere. I think if I remember...
And poor fucking Scully is wearing heels and in a pencil skirt, and they're like, run, bitch!
If I remember correctly, a lot of practical bees on that. I remember watching lots of featurettes when this movie came out.
Was Tony Todd a consult?
Well, yeah, they consulted him in the sense of, like, hey, how much do we ask for if we get stung by a bee?
How many bees did you have in your mouth? How many should we have in our mouth?
Yeah, I think they did it practically. I think there were a lot of actual real bees in that. Just nuts.
I'm not cool with the bees. I just don't think humanity should be working with the aliens so much.
We should be working with the bees.
It's true. We should be working with the bees.
That's who we should be having like a weird, underground.
Yeah, we need a pollinator conspiracy.
You know what? Maybe we have been working with the bees this whole time, but like we reneged on our deal or something. And they're just like, oh yeah, well, it'd be a shame if nobody pollinated your fucking flowers.
The fucking bee just kicks a flower over. Yeah. It'd be a shame if somebody didn't go put their butt in this flower.
Okay, so big fans of UFO stuff. Love UFO stuff.
Yeah, love that UFO content.
Love the content, love stories. Like we have driven around the United States countless hours at night listening to Art Bell, like old episodes of the Art Bell TV.
Listening to show. Art Bell in the desert in Arizona is like the peak of my life.
Yeah.
I felt like we were going to get abducted.
Yeah, and like, we live somewhere now where there's very little light pollution, and like I'm outside all the time. I'm just like, fucking show me,
and there's a lot of UFO sightings in our area. We have yet to have one. One time I thought I had one, but it ended up being the Starlink satellites, so that was disappointing.
Yeah, the UFO sightings in our area are always the Starlink constellation. It's always that. It's gotten to the point now where people mention it, and like a stranger beside you will be like, was it Starlink? Are you sure it wasn't Starlink?
We do get a lot of stars.
But yeah, we've had there's been some weird UFO stories out here in Manitoba. There's just as many, I wouldn't say there's just as many in Canada, but there's a good handful of really credible UFO stories.
We should do like a Fiend Club side episode of stories from our area.
Oh, fuck yeah.
That would be really fun. Like hell a yeah. Kim and John X-Files episode.
Let's do it. We'll go up to, is it Falcon Lake, I think is what it is?
I think
the incident
so.
At Falcon Lake.
Yeah.
Which was maybe just a guy who was making moonshine, but maybe he got visited by a space.
Radioactive, John.
Must have been really good moonshine. But yes, that's all to say that we're dialed in on UFOs. Like when there's a whistleblower story, when there's anything on the news, I'm in there.
When
I'm
Kurt Russell sees
it.
An alien in his plane,
yeah, I'm right there. And I still don't believe in them.
Yeah, I don't believe in them either.
I don't believe in aliens at all.
I want to believe.
That's exactly it. That's why I think it is the greatest phrase. Because, like, I would love to believe in aliens. And, like, I love the mystery of it. I think the majority of alien sightings are there are a lot of optical illusions, like 100%. I've seen some incredible photos in like the Canadian Arctic where it looks like there's a boat that is floating hundreds of feet above the water, but it's an optical illusion.
Well, and now living in a place where we've seen the Northern Lights, you know, a couple times a year, maybe monthly we see it. Anomalies are fucking weird, but they're possible and they exist. We've also seen those vertical light pillars a couple times out here. It's just fucking cool shit.
It looks great.
That the sky and the horizon does, and like the gases and the volume of humidity and stuff. Like there are things that can be filtered through your retinas in weird ways. So it's not surprising that there are sightings. I'm not saying that people don't see things, but
exactly.
But there's definitely debunking that needs to be done.
And I would say that a large majority of sightings that are reported, that are captured on video, are physically real.
And except for like post AI world, nothing is real.
Well,
don't believe
true.
A single thing you see.
Yeah. And unfortunately, there is a line in the sand that we got to draw.
Every UFO sighting now is not real. It
tough
was
shit.
Generated.
Yeah. Unless you took this with a Polaroid camera, I'm not believing it. And if you took it with a Polaroid camera in the 80s, that's about it. Like, that's my cutoff at this point. But I think people see lots of stuff all the time that is likely some sort of experimental piece of technology. I think that's ultimately what it comes down to.
Or a gas trapped in a spot in the air.
Or a sewer gas. But
that's
really
the light on the sewer plant.
I really hold hope that there are UFOs out there. I mean, frankly, it would probably be better if they weren't out there. Let's be real. It'd be a little unsettling and sad, but it would maybe be mildly comforting to learn
what
that
is it,
you the are
Fermi
alone in the
Fermi paradox?
Yeah, the Fermi
I think
paradox.
All options are depressing.
And we'll leave it at that. Honestly, truly mean this. If you have had a UFO experience or a UFO sighting, please reach out to us.
Oh, Yes.
You could send us an email. you could send us a voice memo. You send us all your photos. I don't give a shit. NightmareOnFilmStreetPodcast@gmail.com or mail@nofspodcast.com. That one's a little easier to spell out.
Yeah, you could also just put it in the horror chat in the Discord. Nobody's going to be like, why are you telling us this amazing UFO story?
Yeah, I want to see it. I want to hear your story. I want to hear what you think it is. I'm never going to sit there and tell you that you're wrong, that you didn't see something. I want to know your experiences, and I want to believe.
Oh, man, we're going to have to start putting some X-Files shit in the merch store, because I know you're going to be like, I need an X-Files shirt immediately.
But before we go, real quick, we'll wrap up. What's your rating of the X-Files movie?
Oh, okay. I enjoyed it. I had fun time. Yeah. I liked the UFO-y stuff. Mm-hmm. I liked the host UFO. I liked the parasite UFO. I don't know if they felt like the same species to me, but whatever. I liked the adventure that Mulder and Scully went on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give it a 3 out of 4.
Yeah, Kim would have probably given this at least a half-star bump if the aliens stole the Declaration of Independence or something.
I mean, that is a movie I would fucking watch.
Okay, now, Hollywood, I get it.
Is Nick Cage in it?
We're constantly complaining about reboots and remakes. If you remade a National Treasure right now, but it's an alien gray that steals the Declaration of Independence, I'm fucking there. I'm also giving The X-Files a 3 out of 4. I think it's a good movie. It's a lot of fun.
Man, you hit the nail on the head with that fucking Declaration of Independence. Like, fucking tell me less.
That's going to do it for us this week. We'll be back next week talking about a film adaptation of a very real alien experience. We're getting into a classic gray story. But until then, I'm John.
I'm Kim.
Stay creepy.
The truth is out there.
Or it's not. One of the two.
It appears you made it out alive. But we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.